can I again just thank all of our musicians, our singers, our choir? I think sometimes it's very easy to take it all for granted that it just happens every week, but thank you for your commitment, for your faithfulness, for your desire to use your gifts to help us as we worship God together. So thank you. Thank you. We've been looking at growing in Christ, and how we know that we're growing. And what are the marks? What are the things that we look for in our lives when we grow? And one of them that I want us to look at today is simply this living in godliness. Living in godliness. But before we get there, maybe you've heard this phrase, nature abhors a vacuum. When I saw this phrase, I was reminded of a story of a friend of ours. Friends of ours were having some work done in their house, and the workmen, when they'd finished, were actually very clean, very tidy, and they came to Andy and they said, can you get us your vacuum cleaner and we'll tidy up after us? Well, after searching for a while, he had to ring his wife at work and say, where do we keep our vacuum cleaner? So this phrase does not actually mean nature abhors a Hoover or a Dyson or any of those other things. It's something slightly different. I think it was Aristotle. Well, it's not about hating your vacuum cleaner. It's not about that. It's about hating a space, hating a gap. Nature abhors a vacuum. Growing up at home, the house that we lived in had big, thick stone walls, and just inside the back door, there was a windowsill, which was quite a big, deep windowsill, and it was a wonderful place to throw your school bag, your rugby boots, anything else you had in your hands when you came through the back door, went onto this windowsill. And looking back, my poor mother spent I don't know how much time getting everything off the windowsill, cleaning it, tidying it, leaving it nice and empty until the next person came through the door, and back it went. And on it went. It would be cleared, cleaned, tidied, empty, and then back it came. Until the day we came home, opened the back door, and we're just about to sling the stuff in whenever we looked, and there's a beautiful pot plant sitting in that windowsill. And not even we had the heart to throw our bags and things in there. Nature abhors a vacuum. If there's a space, something will move into it. See it in the natural world around us. You clear a little bit in your garden, and it's all, there's nothing growing in it at all. And you look at it tomorrow and it's full of weeds. Nature abhors a vacuum. There will never be a space with nothing in it. We know it in the natural world. We know it in our homes. We know it in our political situation. How often do we hear it? In the vacuum created by a lack of political leadership, other people, other forces move in. And we see that. We know that. It doesn't matter whether it's here in our own situation or whether it's over in Westminster where things are gridlocked. Nature abhors a vacuum. Something, someone else will move into that space. That's why it's important that we do pray for our political representatives. And I know sometimes we got to that stage where we just are fed up. That stage where we just despair that anything will come of anything. But as those who seek to serve and follow Jesus Christ, we should be praying for that space, that it's filled with the right people, with the right attitudes. Nature abhors a vacuum. But it's not just about the world around us. It's not just about politics. It's not just about our houses and our cupboards and all the rest of the things. It's also about our lives. The things that we struggle to give up, the things that we struggle to stop doing. We know that you can stop them, you can set them to one side, but something else will move into that space. Things that you decide, that's just a waste of time, I'm going to stop doing that, I'm not going to sit all my life in front of the TV or sit all my life in front of the internet, I'm going to do something more productive, but very shortly, something else moves into that space. Nature abhors a vacuum, even in our lives. Last week, when we looked at a mark of growing, we said one of the marks of growing is that we will have this increasing hatred for sin in our lives. That we want to get rid of it, we want to throw it off. And rightly so. But we need to be so careful. We need to be so careful that we don't simply throw it off so that something else moves into that space. And this is where the advice of Paul to young Titus is good for us. Paddy read these verses as part of our reading. And they simply say, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives." So two things are happening. Two things are happening. One that we learned about last week was saying no to ungodliness, saying no to that sin which hinders us, which trips us up, which entangles us. But it's not just clearing that space, it's filling it with a life that is godly. And these verses remind us that God, in His grace, helps us to do both these things. Helps us both to put off and to put on. Helps us to throw out and to take in. Helps us to say no to ungodliness and to live this godly life. If you read through the rest of that chapter from Titus chapter 2, you'll discover it's a long list of how we are to live. This is what your life should look like. This is how you should be living. And when we read through it, if you listen to Paddy reading it earlier on, you think, goodness me, that's a high standard. That's quite a list. How could I ever live like that? It's a tall order. But this verse reminds us that in this, as in every other part of our lives, we're dependent upon the very grace of God, which teaches us to say no, but also teaches us to live. Grace reminds us it's not about what we've done. We're very good at times at pointing out to other people and to ourselves what we've done. Aren't I a good boy? And we pat ourselves on the back. Look at what I've achieved. Grace is not about that. Grace is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Grace instructs us that our salvation should produce good works. People should look at us and know, because of how we live, they've experienced the very grace of God. So, A godly life is a result of what God has done and is doing in your life. Not about what we do, it's about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Are you growing? Are you growing in Jesus? Because if you are growing in Jesus, you will be growing in this godliness. And this holiness, this godliness, two sides of the same coin. One side that we looked at last week, this holiness is being separate from sin. And the other side of that coin is godliness, being devoted to God. Being devoted. It's interesting, some of the first hymn we sang and then this last hymn that the band led us in, both talk about everything. It's about devotion. So I wonder if I was to ask you, write down, to whom or to what are you devoted? To whom or to what are you devoted? I'm not going to ask you to shout out. But I do know this. What you're devoted to, who you're devoted to, you will give them more than a few minutes morning and night. You'll give them more than an hour on a Sunday morning, because devotion is complete. Devotion is about everything. not about this little part of my life that's my church life, this little section of my life that's about my relationship with Jesus. Devotion is about all of our lives. Everything. Everything. Now there's a challenge. When we talk about a couple who are devoted to each other, one of the things we often say is you never see one without the other. They're devoted to each other. To whom or to what are you devoted? Can you say you're devoted to God? Now, sometimes we make this into an activity. I will do my devotions. I will read my Bible. I will say my prayers. And don't get me wrong, we need to read our Bibles. We need to say our prayers. But it's not just an activity where I can say, I prayed for X number of minutes, tick. I read a chapter of the Bible, tick. Devotion to God's not an activity, it's an attitude. It's an attitude of heart where everything is done because of our relationship with God, because of the grace that is shown to us in Jesus Christ. So God becomes the focus of our lives. Whatever you're devoted to will be the focus of your life. If you can't wait to get down to the Northwest 200 because you're devoted to the bikes, that's everything will be devoted to that. If it's a person, if it's something else, everything is focused on that. Is God the focus of your life? Do you go about your life with, if you like, with one eye on God? God never far from your thoughts. Everything that you do is done with the aim of pleasing God. Spending time with God, not simply to tick off what we've done, not an activity, but simply to spend time with God. Simply to spend time with God. You remember the story of the two sisters, Mary and Martha, and Jesus is in their home. Martha's dashing about because there's so much to be done, there's so much to get ready. I've got a meal to prepare, and Martha's just sitting there listening to you. Tell her to get up and do something. Look at her, Jesus. And you can always imagine that warm smile on Jesus' face as he simply says, Martha, Martha, chill. Sit back. Mary has chosen what is better. It's not about activity. It's about an attitude of heart. Doesn't mean that things don't need to be done. Doesn't mean that things don't need to be sorted out, organized. Of course they do. But it's about our attitude of heart, devoted to God. A godly life is one that's devoted to God. A godly life is one that's growing, one that pleases God. The Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, for example. How do you know that you're growing? A godly life begins to show these things. Begins to show this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what a godly life looks like. And we know that. But it's all about our attitude. Our attitude which shapes our activity. So are you growing? In your walk with God, have you grown since last Sunday? Last month, last year? 10 years ago, 20 years ago, however far you want to go back, are you growing? And the marks of that growth should be there. That separateness from sin, that increasing desire to get rid of it, to throw it off. But also that increasing devotion to God that causes us to curve towards His grace, to grow towards His grace. saying no to ungodliness and living a godly life. Those are marks of growth in us. Shall we pray together? Eternal God, thank you that you know us, you understand us, you know our weakness. You know that we cannot change ourselves. And so you have poured out your grace upon us in Jesus. Lord, help us, we pray, to continually turn our eyes upon Jesus, to continually grow into your grace, so that we may be transformed into the likeness of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.